There is always another story or another side to it. A unique angle, a unique viewpoint, a unique insight. This is Chai FM. For Chai FM, I'm Michael McKenna. Australian police are offering a reward of $1 million for any information leading to the arrest of those responsible for the 1982 bombings of two synagogues in Sydney. A bomb exploded outside the Israeli consulate in Sydney, with another detonating in the basement of the Hakoa Club in Bondi, which was at the time hosting many competitors for the Maccabi Games. It is believed that one of the three culprits is still at large in the country. All three are identified as Palestinian terrorists belonging to the Palestinian May 15 organization. At a recent press conference, New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies Chief Executive Darren Bark reminded all of the ongoing impact which those attacks still have on the community, which still wants to know the truth about what transpired that day for clarity and closure. Britain's Labour Party is concerned that anti-Semitic rhetoric, such as rapper Kanye West's Hitler worship, would be permitted online owing to changes made by the government to the long-awaited online safety bill. The new proposal for the bill would drop the legal but harmful clause, which defines certain topics on which media platforms would have to have a policy. This includes anti-Semitism, which is regarded as not yet illegal under law, and content promoting self-harm. However, Labour MP Christian Wakeford has questioned whether, quote, the government's decision to actually drop the legal but harmful clause from the bill will actually allow this deeply offensive and troubling behaviour to continue, unquote. Should media platforms fail to apply their stated policy, they can then be subject to fines by Ofcom, the United Kingdom's communicator regulator. The Labour Party is concerned, though, that the regulator's powers are limited in the proposals, which could lead to government interference. He's outspoken, controversial, and direct. Samuel Hayek, an Israeli-born British real estate tycoon, is insisting that an organization he is involved with, called the Jewish National Fund, Keren Kayemet Le'Israel, pledges $295 million a year to support and bolster Jewish communities worldwide. He bases this demand on what he perceives as American Jewish people disappearing as a result of interfaith marriages, and European Jews being, quote, diluted by anti-Semitism and assimilation, unquote. Hayek feels that Jewish communities around the world are being neglected and completely ignored, particularly by Israel, adding that despite the country having a diaspora affairs ministry, its budget is not sufficient for it to be taken seriously. He also recommended a need to recruit hundreds of envoys to engage with the global Jewish community, live with them, teach Hebrew and Judaism, and connect with the Holy Land. Thanks to the Abraham Accords, Israel and the United Arab Emirates continue to secure economic relations and, in this case, space exploration ties. During his visit to the country, Israeli President Isaac Herzog praised the two countries' leadership in this field, which he stressed would gain the advantages of space technology to deal with climate change challenges, and together they can provide a base offering global climate remedies. Herzog also met with the President of the United Arab Emirates, Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, and expressed his honor at meeting him, pointing out that the Abraham Accords have demonstrated a strengthening of relations with the hope of bringing more on board. In response, President Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan thanked Herzog for building a strong bridge between the two nations, adding that the Abraham Accords are achieving their goals. And have you heard of Slivovitz? Well, it's a plum brandy traditionally associated with Passover by many Ashkenazi Jews. It originated in Serbia, where Jews first took to the aperitif, and is still dominant there, as well as in the Balkans, Eastern and Central Europe. History tells us that Jewish communities acquired this drink as part of their culture after moving into European kingdoms. They found it acceptable in keeping with kosher laws, acceptable for consumption during Passover, and was generally inexpensive. Polish Jewry in the 19th century are particularly associated with the drink when they began alcohol production and running inns and taverns. And when masses of Polish Jews arrived in America, they brought Slivovitz with them. Today, Slivovitz in the United States is sold and marketed to Jewish consumers, particularly each spring around Passover. Slivovitz has now been added to the United Nations list of items with intangible cultural heritage, following a recent UNESCO conference where France successfully campaigned to have it added to the list. For Chai FM, I'm Michael McKenna. This Chai FM Global Update is a daily newscast focusing on Jewish news from the diaspora. It's free for you to listen to on chaifm.com. If you subscribe, we will email it to you daily.